It's time for Insure Talk with insurance industry tech geek and Guidewire chief evangelist, Laura Drabik. In this podcast series, we don't just talk about innovative ideas in P&C insurance. We talk with industry trailblazers about the big ideas they made happen and how they did it. If you're looking for insights on the trends and technologies reshaping the industry, an all-new Insure Talk starts now.
Welcome to Insure Talk. My name is Laura Drabik, and I'm the Chief Evangelist at Guidewire. In this episode, I have the privilege of interviewing Chris Raimondo, America's insurance technology leader at Ernst & Young. The topic of our conversation today, strategic considerations for embedded insurance success. To those in the know, embedded insurance is coverage that's bundled as a native feature with third-party products and services at the point of purchase. It's the warranty on that new big screen television, the liability coverage offered by Vrbo to short-term rental hosts, or auto insurance for that head-turning Tesla Cybertruck. According to Ernst & Young, as much as 30% of all personal lines revenues will be generated through embedded channels by 2028. But as EY warns, insurers might want to hit the accelerator as a growing number of industries race to win the future of embedded insurance. As EY's insurance technology consulting leader, Chris is the perfect guest to get us dialed in on this increasingly important distribution channel and what carriers must do to position themselves for success. Hello, Chris. Welcome to Insure Talk.
Well, good morning, Laura. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm really looking forward to our conversation on this topic. Thank you for having me today.
Yeah, this is actually one of my favorite topics. So embedded insurance, it's not exactly new. For decades, shoppers have been able to add warranty coverage when purchasing home appliances, ditto for travel insurance when booking plane tickets or cruise line packages. What's different, though, in this digital age is the sheer volume of insurance transactions that can be built into the point of sale in an exploding number of industry categories. For brands and for retailers, offering insurance at the point of sale enables them to deliver added value while generating revenue. For insurers, it's an exceptionally efficient way to gain access to new customer pools at the exact moment consumers are most likely to buy coverage. Chris, embedded distribution compares favorably to the roughly 20% of revenue carriers spend on broker commissions and marketing costs. But in your conversations with carriers, what other aspects of embedded insurance models are they finding most compelling right now?
Well, you definitely hit on the key area. Distribution, particularly access to new markets and new customer segments, is really becoming an increasingly competitive imperative for the industry, you know, whether that be in property and casualty or the life and annuity industry. And we do believe that carriers developing new products and services for alternative distribution channels as a core tenet of their strategies moving forward will be amongst the best performing carriers in the future. So we're doing a lot of work with carriers in this space, embedded distribution and or ecosystem plays for that matter, being an area most are looking at very seriously. Now, maybe to make that point a little more real in terms of linking distribution with an ecosystem and why carriers are excited about possibility. You know, we were working with a large personal lines carrier on an embedded distribution strategy. And one of the slices of data we were looking at was concentration by auto OEMs across their book. And it was pretty striking to see that in some of very large states where they do business, they insured very few of this OEM's vehicles. And it's a major global manufacturer. You know, further, this OEM also manufactured additional products that needed protection, where this insurer had almost no market penetration. So eventually, you know, as we evolved this strategy, it became insuring everything in the consumer's garage that this OEM manufactured, the vehicle, the toys, the equipment, and so forth. So really an expansive opportunity to increase market share and growth. And lastly, we also see this as a defensive strategy to protect market share from non-insurers looking to leverage their own distribution channels. Their brand power and technology capabilities to enter the insurance market are increasing. Digitization and the enhanced data available through connected cars and connected property continue to drive down the traditional barriers of entry for these companies that are further looking to, you know, monetize these customer relationships and diversify their own revenue streams.
That's really insightful. In fact, I want to call out two things that you said for our listeners. So it's an offensive and defensive strategy, well put. But also, I really liked how you highlighted that the best performing carriers in the market will be actually leveraging it. And I couldn't agree more. So embedded is also a boon to those who matter most. That would be the customer. Purchasing coverage separately from the product or the service being insured, it can be complicated. It can be expensive. And to be honest, it can be a little irksome. And according to J.D. Power's 2023 U.S. Insurance Digital Experience Study, overall customer satisfaction with carriers' online options for purchasing insurance ranks just 521 on a 1,000-point scale. So that's really low. And to put this into perspective, conversion rates for standalone insurance coverage stands between 1 and 3%, but conversion rates for embedded insurance offers ranges between 10 to 20%. Having worked in the insurance industry before, this to me is incredibly compelling. Chris, beyond pure convenience, what do you think accounts for this enormous disparity?
Convenience and timing, they definitely play a big role. But from the broader customer experience standpoint, I'd also add simplicity and proximity to those. Our consumer research consistently shows that customers in the financial services industry want and now frankly expect retail-like experiences when they are purchasing goods and services through digital channels. Protection will probably never be more top of mind than at that point of purchase. So if it can be presented in a simple and seamless way, there is going to be a higher propensity to purchase from consumers. And then there are probably two more behavioral reasons as well that I'd cite. The first is that, unfortunately for the insurance industry, we still struggle with branding and trust. One thing in particular is that trust is fed by engagement with the consumer. And many retailers and businesses just engage with their customers more than insurers do. And they typically do that in a more seamless, frictionless, and delightful way. Second, at the point of sale, that cost of insurance can be compared with the cost of the underlying good or service purchase. And it may look like a small price to pay for that peace of mind, considering the cost of the good or service being protected.
Yeah, you said something that's really spot on. When a consumer is engaging in a digital channel, they're expecting those retail-like experiences. And with insurance, we have to deliver the same. So really well put. For all the promise of embedded insurance, it can also be seen as a threat. For one thing, insurers could find themselves disintermediated by large, well-capitalized brands in different sectors looking to strengthen their customer relationships through these kind of value-added services. And one to point out is Tesla, for one, is a category leader looking to bypass carrier partners in delivering insurance coverage. Chris, how should carriers think about collaboration when it comes to embedded insurance?
Well, you hit on a great point, Laura. We certainly see non-insurers taking a very close look at entering the insurance industry as what we call full stack insurers, not in a white labeling or gray labeling fashion, but actually launching their own insurance businesses. We're working with one OEM in this regard. So I think it's important for carriers to recognize this as a real threat, but also see this as a unique opportunity to be a leader in defining that future protection ecosystem for their customers through a network of partners. You know, when the embedded ecosystem concepts first really gathered steam, there was this overarching theme of better together. I still think that will be relevant today and going forward. Given the rapid change of technology alongside of consumer behaviors, expectations, and demographics, most companies are going to find themselves either part of someone else's ecosystem or an orchestrator and platform of an ecosystem they own, perhaps both. We think carriers need to evaluate both of these patterns for their future strategies. And to expand on this a bit, the insurer really needs to understand and define the compelling value proposition across that insurer partner insured value chain. And we already talked about key elements of value to the insured, a seamless, simple, transparent user experience that is very retail-like. For the partner in the value chain, it can certainly be more nuanced and complex. Carriers have to think of these partners in many cases as an actual customer as well. You know, considerations such as the end-to-end customer journey, it just doesn't end with purchase. You know, there's servicing, renewal, claims, for example, as well as ownership of that end customer relationship and his or her data, and of course, what the financial incentive are as part of this relationship. This can be particularly complex for those carriers with existing captive and exclusive agency distribution forces, but ultimately, better together means the partner and the insurer want to come up with a value proposition that is value add to their end customers. And I think that is really the wedge to explore these partnership opportunities.
I like your tagline, better together. But I do have to ask, how do brokers or captive agents view embedded? Do they see it as a risk or a compliment?
There's definitely concern about disintermediating or cannibalizing that traditional distribution channel. And what we've really worked with carriers on is it's not a one or the other choice. There is still very much going to be a need for that traditional agency distribution channel, but the embedded trend is here. So you need to start looking at this business model differently than the way you've traditionally developed, sold, and serviced insurance, utilizing an ecosystem of partners to reach a broader and frankly different customer base going forward.
And I couldn't agree more. You got to approach it differently. And you're right. It is absolutely broadening the customer. It's a brand new customer in some cases for them. So well put. For insurers to compete with embedded offerings on their own or with new partners, they also need to address several interconnected challenges within their operating models. So many insurers offer undifferentiated products that aren't based on current data. They face higher expenditures than potential non-insurance rivals, including multiple intermediaries that, as we mentioned, could add up to 30 to 40% to cost. More importantly, embedded insurance fulfillment requires insurers to instantly and accurately price the risk to provide this really personalized approach to the product. That takes a lot of automation, Chris, in an industry that still has a lot of manual processing. What advice would you or do you give to carriers to relentlessly drive out process and administrative costs and overhaul aspects of their operating models to optimize their viability in the embedded space?
First, need to start looking at this as a different business model. You know, these are going to be B2B2B or B2B2C business relationships versus the way insurance is typically sold and serviced today. So what does that mean? It adds more steps potentially in the value chain, but also with that, the opportunity to reach a broader range of customers in innovative ways. So carriers are going to need to define new product and service offerings and the corresponding financial models specific to this channel. They have to be willing to innovate and maybe more aggressively, frankly, self-disrupt. The operating models that support these channels, they need to be developed through the use of more automation, through the use of more artificial intelligence, and through the use of more advanced analytics to create leaner workflows, promote more self-service capabilities, and ultimately improve pricing accuracy and profitability of those products as well.
Fantastic. Such great information. When we come back after this short break, we'll continue our conversation with Chris Raimondo, America's insurance technology leader at Ernst & Young. So stay tuned.
Digging InsureTalk with Laura Drabik? Be sure to subscribe on Amazon, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. While you're at it, rate the show on Apple Podcasts and let us know how we're doing. Now, let's get back to the show.
And welcome back to InsureTalk. This is Laura Drabik, and I'm talking with Chris Raimondo, America's insurance technology leader at Ernst & Young, about winning with embedded insurance. Okay, so returning to our conversation before the break about some of the challenges insurers face when it comes to embedded insurance. EY has said that one of the most significant obstacles insurers face entails, and I quote, legacy system limitations in integrating the velocity, variety, and volume of new data flows necessary to innovate in the embedded space. As EY puts it, again, quote, meeting the pace of market changes on legacy systems simply will not work. And instead, insurers need to, according to EY, develop entirely new ways of engaging in solution design and development that leverage modern insurance platforms that make it easy to integrate with curated data ecosystems and support fast, secure data exchange. So Chris, can you elaborate on that? How important do you see cloud-connected API-based capabilities like those that are in the Guidewire platform, for instance, in this kind of architecture?
So this is something I'm quite passionate about, Laura, and it's really the work I do day in and day out with the insurance industry. For this specific distribution channel, cloud-connected open API capabilities and a microservices architecture are really table stakes, not only to enter the market with a viable offering, but also to be able to scale and respond with agility to changing customer or partner preferences and to introduce new data sources or even swap in or out best of breed capabilities into the ecosystem. Not only is it too costly to attempt this on legacy technology, but as you said, Laura, the limitations in integrating the velocity, volume, and variety of new data flows necessary to innovate and embed it makes it a near impossibility to utilize legacy core platforms and legacy integration architectures as the backbone of an embedded platform. And companies like Guidewire that offer many of these necessary capabilities in a more turnkey fashion can be a significant competitive advantage for insurers when it comes to speed to market, to enter these channels, develop and change new products, and respond to customer preferences.
So Chris, I had the privilege also of interviewing one of your colleagues, and he said exactly the same thing that you said about it being a near impossibility to be able to implement embedded on a legacy system. And I couldn't agree with you more. I can't think of one of our carriers that would be able to do that on legacy, but they are and can on a modern cloud solution like Guidewire's. I think it's also interesting that EY points out that many P&C insurers also have not yet refined offerings or underwriting models to account for some of the sizable changes coming to mobility, including the rise of connected, autonomous, and electric vehicles. In other words, many insurers lack the infrastructure to deliver embedded offerings, nor the underpinnings for relevant products to even offer through these channels. What should carriers do to prepare their teams, their technology, and operations for all of that?
Yeah, there's certainly a lot to unpack here. So I'll hit on a few key considerations that we tend to see repeatedly as we enter in these discussions and initiatives with carriers. First, I mentioned this notion of self-disruption. You know, the industries that commercial and personal line carriers traditionally have supported, mobility and real estate in particular, are changing rapidly along with consumer behavior and expectations. And I think insurers have had some insulation from this disruption due to regulatory protections, for example. But we do believe we are at that inflection point in the industry where the static traditional policies offered by insurers need to start to change into more dynamic offerings with more precise pricing and richer analytics-enabled personalized experiences. So to prepare for this, carriers need to honestly assess their cultures for innovation and self-disruption, and then define the necessary capabilities to innovate boldly and at scale, and try to industrialize this within their organization. That creates the foundation for insurers to not only be able to respond to these changing market forces, but also provides the direction and how future insurance products need to be designed for success in these channels. You know, for example, we're already seeing in personal auto, insurers using new data sources and new data sets, largely based on actual usage patterns and real-time risk insights, to be able to price products and adjust premiums dynamically and with the capability to potentially do so in real time. So there's a lot of potential here if carriers can just take that leap and decide they really want to be on the front edge of innovation.
We talk a lot about embedded product warranties and car insurance, but companies in a number of industries see the appeal of embedded insurance, including OEMs for things like agriculture and industrial equipment, property owners, investors, and management firms, restaurants and hospitality, you name it. What should insurers strategize for when approaching organizations in these and other industries as potential partners?
Well, you're spot on, Laura. We definitely see the interest in all of the sectors you mentioned beyond traditional personal auto and warranty insurance. You know, we're already engaged in discussion or in some cases active projects across many of these sectors. In terms of strategies for approaching partners, they usually revolve around three tenets. The first being the type of partnership model. So for example, is the protection product built into the product offering, or would it be sold as an add-on? Is the product going to be co-branded or white labeled? Second, what is that mutual value proposition that will drive mutual benefit across the value chain between insured, partner, and end customer? Is it going to be a unique product offering that's not in the market today? Is it a differentiated technology platform that delivers a new experience that will increase customer loyalty? And lastly, what are going to be the guardrails or friction points in that value chain? This can be the branding, the customer experience, data ownership, and of course, ongoing service for the customer. So at the end of the day, these are really complex relationships. I think sometimes it's easy to oversimplify them when we're talking about embedded insurance. So it's likely where a company starts won't be where they finish in terms of their strategy here. But it's really important for carriers to at least have a working vision across those areas. So there is something to build on and iterate, as you explore opportunities with partners in this space.
Makes sense. And embedded insurance isn't just a new distribution channel for one size fits all coverage. Going back to data analytics and integration advances, they don't just make it possible to provide truly personalized coverage. They also enable underwriters and product managers to rapidly market test compelling new coverage options, price them based on real-time demand, modify features, and ditch unpopular ones. Chris, what approaches have you seen carriers take to leverage advanced analytics to actionably understand drivers of new product adoption and satisfaction, and then apply that insight into new products or experience design in the embedded space?
There really is an expansive number of use cases here, Laura, that we're seeing carriers explore and implement centered around these new data sources and these new analytics capabilities that are really facilitated by the connected car or the connected home. I'll name a few: offering dynamic pricing models such as pay as you drive, or maybe more importantly, pay how you drive, being able to establish deeper relationships with customers by offering more customized or personalized insurance plans, such as a monthly insurance option for subscription services, sending protective alerts for renewals, changes in services associated with new life events, and maintenance notifications or predictions, incentive-based techniques to improve driving behavior and skills, and of course, how could we forget expediting claims processing by providing transparent loss data and information? I think the key really is about that platform that's really going to be able to harness these capabilities, because without that, these are just conceptual use cases. You can't really make them come to life.
Makes sense. And those are some great use cases. I was reading an article just talking about the increasing global protection gap valued at $1.8 trillion. That's with a T dollars. When we talk about embedded insurance, you've said it over and over again, like simplicity, seamless, frictionless, and then also all of these value-add services that you just mentioned. Do you think it could be a mechanism to help reduce the global protection gap?
I think it has to be. And that's certainly a trend that we've kept an eye on over time, is that global protection gap and how it continues to grow. And, being able to provide different, more customized product is going to be fundamental, because the days of one size fits all, or maybe three sizes that you're trying to fit all, that is a barrier to continuing to reach a new group of customers. And I think the only way to close that protection gap is to provide not only education, but also innovative products that consumers are going to want to purchase.
Awesome. Thanks, Chris. On the other side of this break, we'll continue the conversation. So don't go anywhere.
Loving InsureTalk with Laura Drabik? For more expert insights and inspiration, subscribe to Laura's email newsletter at drabikdigest.com, your one-stop resource for Laura's latest blog posts, videos, podcasts, articles, and more. That's www.drabikdigest.com. Now let's get back to the show.
And welcome back. This is Insure Talk with Laura Drabik, and we're talking with Chris Raimondo, America's insurance technology leader at Ernst & Young. Chris, we talked a little earlier about the difference in conversion rates for embedded and standalone insurance offerings, and part of the difference must surely be the simplicity of the customer experience and the pure timeliness of these offerings. To a certain extent, it must also come from lessons learned from things like embedded payments, which have to be fast, frictionless, and secure. I'd love to get your perspective on other lessons that insurers can glean from sectors that were among the first to begin revolutionizing embedded finance like banking and payments.
I think there are 3 to 4 critical success factors in embedded. Number one, and we keep coming back to this, but it is critical, is that seamless product experience. So embedded products need to be seamlessly integrated into the customer journey without any media breaks, and where convenience is a key priority. You know, that has a major impact on conversion rates, as we've discussed. You know, second is ensuring a scalable product offering. So the embedded offering should be scalable, not only in terms of product range, but also the number of different customer segments or potentially regions that you're trying to reach. You know, this would also include the flexibility to quickly react to changing customer preferences. Third, I'd say pricing, of course. I mean, we haven't talked about pricing yet, but obviously pricing is going to be a key consideration in any purchase. And the pricing should not create any friction. You know, the offering needs to be priced competitively, and it shouldn't really be any higher. And in fact, I think consumers in some cases are going to expect a lower price than a non-embedded product. And lastly, trust. Consumers need to have the confidence in the reliability of the partners, as well as the security that the non-financial partner and the financial partner are going to provide as part of this transaction. This can be established by providing transparency about pricing, as well as terms and conditions of the offering. So these are the fundamental success factors we've seen carry over from banking and payments that I think need to be applied to the insurance sector as well.
Yeah, great input. In its recommendation to define embedded offerings and explore new business models based on multiple collaboration options, EY suggests including, and you've said this before, B2B2B and B2B2C models. Can you help us understand what these models entail and how they would work?
Yeah, maybe to bring it all together, as we talk about B2B2B, which is really commercial insurance, and B2B2C, which is personal insurance, we're starting with an expansion of the traditional insurance value chain in terms of how insurance is sold and serviced. You know, you have the insurer, the partner, or the intermediary, and the end customer, whether that's a business or an individual. And then there's also going to be a technology platform that underpins this relationship and value chain, which is particularly critical as you add more partners into the ecosystem. So the embedded model really unbundles or redefines the traditional way companies need to think about insurance product development, insurance sales, and insurance servicing, where that intermediary is both a partner and a customer, depending on how, you know, we say thin or thick this relationship is going to be. We classify a thin relationship as potentially a simple joint marketing agreement or a referral agreement between an insurer and a partner. I'm sure you've seen or gotten emails after a vehicle purchase that says you can save money on your car insurance by getting a quote from that OEM's insurance partner. So we'd view that as what we call a thin relationship. And what we're really talking about when we say innovate, penetrate new distribution channels, and change the way insurance is sold and delivered is that thick relationship between the carrier and the partner. And this is going to involve that more white labeled or gray labeled solution where the protection could be sold as an add-on at point of sale or bundled into the good and service. You know, the protection product is typically developed specifically for this distribution channel, which is a really important distinction. And I think that's the leap that carriers need to make when they're evaluating these types of strategies, is that the traditional product may not fit this distribution channel and is going to have to be changed or potentially redeveloped. You know, ultimately, the carrier really needs to determine where they want to land on this spectrum and embedded. And that's going to come down to potential monetization strategies that they can really pursue. How confident are they in the volumes necessary to justify the cost if they have to build new capabilities and new offerings to support these channels? Which is why we really recommend outlining those business model choices early so the carrier can take advantage of its existing strengths and core capabilities in advancing these partnerships. Many of these companies have been in business decades, if not over 100 plus years. So they do things well. And And they shouldn't overlook those capabilities when they're thinking about a completely new business model and distribution channel.
That is really sage input, Chris, where the carrier needs to understand where they fall on that spectrum that you did a really good job of explaining. And you know, there's just some lines I don't think that are ever going to take an embedded distribution approach. And I think you alluded to that a little bit earlier when we talked a little bit about brokers and agents. What kind of lines do you see do not fall into an embedded distribution approach?
There's always going to be the need when we get into complex products that may have multiple protection elements. So when we think of commercial package products or really complex commercial insurance, that really requires the expertise of a broker and some very detailed underwriting. I think we're a long way from complex commercial lines products really being sold through true embedded channels. I think that one stands out probably the most, as well as specialized products that really need to have the expertise of a broker alongside of the business, whether that be something like cyber insurance, which is very complicated. So those types of products, you know, we don't see in the near term from an embedded insurance perspective. I think we do see middle market, small market commercial, and of course, personal lines and consumer protection really being the sweet spot today. Could change over time. You know, that's sort of where we've seen the most activity so far.
Yeah, spot on. On a more personal note, you have served as Chicago Council Member for Music Will, a nonprofit organization focused on transforming lives by transforming music education in public schools. And I have to say, I was so impressed with this charity. I had to go take a peek at the website. 1.6 million students served, 100,000 instruments and equipment donated, 6,000 schools supported. What role has music played in your own life and career?
Well, thank you for the question, Laura. I did serve for several years pre-pandemic, and it's a tremendous organization, as you said. It really aims to improve students' lives through transforming music education by providing teacher training, curriculum, resources, and instruments to restore and expand music education in public schools. And what initially drew me to this organization was the ability to make an impact specifically on Chicago public schools. My mom had worked in the Chicago public school system for over 30 years, and it also combined the type of music that I really enjoy, which is the rock and roll genre. So music's been a part of my life since I was a kid. I played the guitar growing up. In college, my roommate and I started a music promotion company where we help lesser-known college bands come to university campuses and venues in and around the Cincinnati and Dayton areas. You know, I've been to countless concerts over the last 25 years. It's something I still do with my wife and my friends for entertainment. Some of my most memorable experiences have been at these events. So it was an honor to be able to work with that organization and support its mission. And lastly, the concerts that the kids put on at the Hard Rock Cafe in Chicago were pretty special as well.
Chris, thank you so much for your time today and for your incredible insights. You've shown us it's not just about ideas, it's about making ideas happen.
Thanks, Laura.
Tune in next time for an all-new episode of Insure Talk with Laura Drabik, brought to you by Guidewire, the platform PNC insurers trust to engage, innovate, and grow efficiently. For more information, visit guidewire.com.